Rejoice in the Lord always, St. Paul tells us this morning. And by Vespers, the church is still singing the same tune. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, with great joy, for there shall come unto thee a Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How did you do this past week? I mean, with the sounds of life and your imagination, the howling of a dog at night to remind you of how our conscience hounds us. I mention that example because I want to talk to you today in this season of gifts about the gift that a good conscience gives us. St. Philip Neri says, and it is joy, joy that flows from a good conscience. And this week, what I'd like you to listen for, shouldn't be difficult for most of us to discover, laughter, the sound of people having a good time. Now, it doesn't take much to be able to hear the voice of God if you quiet yourself. This high point of Butler County, the wind howling outside. Or yesterday, in the morning snow, that wonderful stillness that came at a certain point. But laughter, yes, God's voice is to be heard too when people are having a good time. It has a way, laughter does, of lifting our heart up to God, just so long as there's no sin involved. Oh, it's noisy sometimes. St. Philip Neri always had boys, young men with him, and he would play with them for a while, and then when he could get back to his own work in his room, he didn't even mind if they would, as boys will, bounce a ball against the wall of the building. It was pretty noisy. Someone asked him once if he wasn't distracted by that. He said, listen, he said, I would let those boys chop wood on my back if only there'd be no sin involved. Have any of you heard of the miracle worker of Montreal, Brother Andre, who spread devotion to St. Joseph so beautifully in modern times? People come from all over to ask this humble little brother for advice. You know the advice he often gave them? You know, he'd say, it's good to laugh a little. Laughter is a tool which the good Lord uses for all sorts of purposes, to relax us, to heal us, to straighten us out sometimes by doubling us over with mirth. The Blessed Margaret Clitheroe, who was pressed to death beneath a door, imagine that, for harboring priests and having mass in her house. The Blessed Margaret was imprisoned with another lady who was also turned in at the same time, a Mrs. Anne Tesh. And the two of them laughed so much and were so merry together in their prison cell that at one point Blessed Margaret said, I'm afraid if they don't separate us, we'll lose all of the merit of our imprisonment. We're having such a good time together. Laughter lets us shred a bit of our brittle shell so that God can get in and mold us the way he wants us to be. If only we would realize the saints, their joy, so great, and all of the pleasures of this world in comparison with it, nothing at all. Joy has been a factor in our Advent meditations this season. That is to say, it's sort of the guarantor, if you will, of the genuineness of our following of Jesus and of Mary. First Sunday, lift up your heads, our Lord's coming. The idea is that we're not so attached to this world that we wouldn't at least a little rejoice at the thought that this wicked old wonderful world is coming to an end. Joy and confidence with our Blessed Mother, even when our world comes to an end at the hour of our death, for those who pray their rosary, their Hail Marys daily. How could it be any other way? Now, today I want to look at joy itself with you. It's Rejoice Sunday, and the pink poinsettias peek out at us from the altar, and the rosy vestments say, Rejoice. And St. Paul insists on us, on that truth. The tidings of our religion are, as soon we shall sing, tidings of comfort and joy. Now, some, I grant you, some seem to make gloom and doom the official face of traditional Catholicism. Now, that's sad. And no wonder sometimes it seems that our numbers are so sparse. It's true. Redemption, the saving of your soul, is a serious matter. But that does not mean you have to be sad and look tense all of the time, that there's no role for laughter in all of this. What, after all, is a sense of humor? Why, it's a blend of affection with a sense of the lovable foolishness of human nature, your own and that of others. You see what doesn't fit, and then you laugh a little. Humor best takes root in a heart that is full of joy. Little wonder the saints were that way. They say, you know, you could pick out St. Anthony of Egypt from hundreds of monks by his cheerfulness. And once two old Egyptian hermits paid a man to row them across the Nile River. And the two of them, all grisly looking from the sunburn and the fasting and all the watching and prayer, were so cheerful, so transparently full of joy, that by the end of that little trip, the boatman, he wanted to be a monk too, just to get in on all of that cheerfulness. They say that no saint was more like our blessed Lord than Francis of Assisi. But also he was one of the most humorous saints. Humor, Chesterton says, salted all of the escapades of the poor man of Assisi. That tells us then something about our Lord. He decided, you know, that during the Crusades, he would go to see the Sultan of Egypt to try to convert him. The Sultan, knowing that he was coming and who he was, ordered that a carpet be woven, and in the carpet were all of these crosses in the design. And the Sultan said to his court, he said, now we'll watch. If this holy man walks on his cross, why then I will tell him he's insulting his Lord. But if he refuses to walk on the carpet that I have laid out, I will tell him he's insulting me. Let's see what happens. And so St. Francis of Assisi arrived, and with a big smile, he walked towards the Sultan right over the carpet. The Sultan said, you are insulting me. Francis cut him off, and he explained, well, Your Highness, he explained, there were, after all, three crosses on Calvary, one for our Lord, that's the one we're keeping, and two for the thieves. We'll let you have those crosses, and there's nothing at all wrong with walking on top of them. The humor of the saints, they were full of cheerfulness and of joy. You need it to keep your balance in your life, in your faith, in your feelings. The history of heresy, in a sense, is the history of the breakdown of humor. Listen to the words. Humility, humor. They have a common root. They keep us from taking ourselves and our ideas, humor does, or cheerfulness, too seriously. The devil always gets in and he stiffens our joints with pride. We become so self-serious and so pompous that the devil does his work. I think I've told this story before. It must have been years ago, though. It was about a friend of mine in the seminary, Archbishop Lefebvre Seminary at Econe. And already way back then in the early 70s, as today, the Pius X Society was divided amongst those who wanted to be truly traditional and those who wanted to accommodate with the modern church and remain as part of it. So there was a natural division. Now, in our little group, there was a Frenchman who had a great sense of humor, and there was a Spaniard who was very, very traditional, and he didn't want anything to do with modernism, but he had no sense of humor at all. tall fellow. His name was Juan Fernandez Cron, and he had a deep Spanish voice. And when we would go for a walk together at recreation, so often I remember the Frenchman, he would crack a joke or two, and so would the Americans. And then the Spaniard would pipe up and he would say, "Soyez sérieux, l'heure est grave." Be serious, he'd say. The hour is grave. And unfortunately, he lost it at some point, and he decided that the solution to the church's problems would be for to get himself a bayonet and to go after John Paul II. He didn't get very far, and he just ended up in prison. And I'm afraid there in prison, he lost his faith, and he defrocked himself of his holy priesthood and married and all of the rest. You need humor for your sanity, but you also need it for your sanctity. The saints give us a wonderful example of faith leading to joy. And when there's a lot of faith, why, there's often a lot of laughter. Chesterton, again, that English writer, he says that probably England has not had a good deep laugh since England broke away from the Catholic Church at the Protestant Revolt. Why shouldn't we be happy? Saint Ignatius used to tell his novices, laugh and be strong. And the early Dominican saint, Blessed Jordan, one time there was a group of training Dominicans or novices, and you know how it is sometimes with young people, somebody started laughing, and then someone else laughed, and pretty soon everybody in the chapel was laughing, and one of the brothers there was very upset, and he threatened the boys if they didn't quiet down. And Blessed Jordan, the master general of the Dominicans, said, "That's okay, boys. You go on and laugh. You may well laugh because you have escaped the devil who held you in bondage. Go on and laugh. The devil likes to keep us sad." Will you remember that truth from our holy patron, St. Francis de Sales? He wants us to share his misery for all eternity in hell. What not ought to be our joy at our rejection of Satan and all of his deceptions? Rejoice then, not just this Sunday, but always. Oh, what though does that mean, last of all, this joy? Joy is a bit like charity or faith. That is to say, it depends not on your feelings, who can control those, but on an act of the will. So you can choose to be happy. Technically, we say you elicit an act of the will, just as you choose to believe or not to believe, to love or not to love. It's not true that man is a victim of his emotions. "Well, I don't believe anymore, so therefore I..." What nonsense. You choose to believe or not to believe, and you choose to be joyful or not to be joyful. St. Alphonsus says, just don't let yourself be trapped by a bad mood. Sing, he says, sing some little snatch of a hymn. Read something that's joyful. Have a pleasant conversation with someone. Try to dispel and don't linger in the darkness. That's why even the strictest of orders have their recreation period to cheer everybody up. And the little flower herself, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, she knew how to keep her fellow sisters happy. They missed her when she didn't make it to recreation. She was, as many saints were, a great mimic. And she used to mimic some of the priests who heard their confessions. And she had all of the other nuns in stitches. And here she is, one of the greatest saints of modern time. Why? St. Philip Neri explains, a cheerful soul becomes holy more quickly. After all, we're all looking for redemption. The coming of the kingdom should cheer us because it is getting a little bit closer. Now, we all know that nobody has a sense of humor like the Irish. But did you know that in the old days, I mean the early Middle Ages, when Ireland was the Isle of saints and of scholars, that the monks, thousands of them, were so very, very strict. Long prayers, and their favorite penance was to go out and stand in a stream during the winter, submerged in cold water. The least fault, they'd be whipped for it. So strict. St. Columban, one of the great Irish monks and missionaries, once asked one of his followers, St. Deiculus. He said, "Deiculus, why are you always smiling?" And the young monk said to him, "Father, because no one can take God from me." Deiculus means a worshiper of God. If you are, my friend, then cheer up. Indeed, lift up your head and see your redemption is nigh. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.